Initiated startup sequence.
Onboard computers are now transitioning into the terminal countdown configuration.
Welcome to Throttle Up.
3, 2, 1, 0. Booster ignition and liftoff.
It's time for all of us to get throttled up.
Roger, go on throttle up.
Hello and welcome to the Throttle Up Podcast. I am your host, Jeff Grillo. A little preemptive warning slash disclaimer for this week's episode. I know I promised to encourage, entertain, enlighten, inspire, all those things, but not necessarily every element of that will be in each week's podcast. This week, entertainment, I don't know. Perhaps not so much, but definitely should be chock full of everything else. And I want to let you know up front, another disclaimer, I'm going to be referencing a story that is not my own. Found it today. An individual on WordPress had liked a post that I had put up at throttleupradio.wordpress.com. You can also find it on my website at jeffgrillomedia.com and click on the blog button. But anyway, this individual that posted it, it wasn't his either, or hers. I'm not even sure if it's male or female. I didn't get a chance. I'm pressed for time today, so I didn't have a chance to look into it so much, but I did click on one of their blog posts, and they had credited the story to author unknown. So I don't know who this came from. But the blog I got it from, for the sake of propriety, I believe was morningstoryanddilbert.wordpress.com. I don't know anything about him or her, but this is just a great, great blog post that's kind of inspiring this. And I'm going to be sharing from the story, so I just wanted to get that out of the way, again, for propriety's sake. Now, another disclaimer I'm going to have to give you up front is, you know, I'm a Christian, I'm a believer in Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah. I practice my faith from the standpoint of a messianic believer. What is that? Basically, we're, you know, believers, you know, like everybody else. The only difference is in how we study and how we practice. We endeavor to do things in a most simplified way that I can explain this. The way the first century church did, the way the apostles, disciples, and even Yeshua himself, the way that they studied and taught and learned and, you know, what they observed and did. You know, since Constantine and the Council of Nicaea, things really got off track in a lot of areas. But that's another story, and that's not really the purpose of this podcast today, but I just wanted to get that out there because the story I'm going to be talking about kind of has an Easter theme, and I just want it to be known. I don't celebrate Easter. Well, wait a minute, Jeff, you're a Christian. Can you believe in Jesus? How do you not celebrate the resurrection of Messiah? Well, I didn't say I didn't celebrate the resurrection of Messiah. I just don't do it in a pagan way that offends God. And if you're wondering what I'm talking about, read Isaiah chapter 1, and you will see. God goes through a list of things that apparently offend him and upset him, but they're all things that he commanded us to do in Torah. So what's up with that? The first 17 verses will kind of have you scratching your head. But then you realize he starts talking about your feasts, your celebrations, not my celebrations. So in other words, the people of God were doing the things that he said to do, but they were doing them in their own way, in their own times. And that's what made things an abomination. So that's why, this is my personal choice. I've gotten myself to a point where I am chasing after God the way he commanded us to. So you want to learn a little bit more about that side of things, read Leviticus chapter 23, the most ignored or avoided chapter in most Christian churches, in my opinion. I don't know. Over and over again, he says, forever. And they are the feasts of the Lord, feasts of Adonai, not the Jewish feasts. So, you know, check it out. So anyway, I just wanted that little caveat up there for what it's worth. And you know what? We're already talking a lot about the Bible here, a lot about God, a lot about Jesus, a lot about, you know, ways I practice. So if you're not a believer, don't shut the podcast off. Don't walk away. You don't have to be a believer to enjoy this podcast in general. Of course, you know, it is my hope that that you would be, that it would change your heart. But, you know, you absolutely don't have to. And now we're going to get into the part of the podcast that, you know, if you're facing challenges, no matter what it is, the disability, you know, whether it's blindness like I'm having to deal with or cancer that I had to overcome 20 plus years ago, or financial problems or marital problems or problems with your kids or your neighbors or boss, whatever it is, we all face challenges. And this story I'm about to relate to you is going to hopefully offer you encouragement and touch your heart in a very special way today. So let's, without further ado, just get to it. And I just read this, so, you know, the names and the places and the, you know, may not be completely accurate. But I believe I'll be able to relay the point of the story to you and apply it. And even point back to the word, and I think you're going to get a lot out of this. So here we go. As the story goes, there was a little boy named Jeremy. He was about 12 years old. He had a terminal illness and physical challenges. He had a weak leg that he dragged behind him. He didn't speak so well. He would glaze over in class a lot. Didn't seem to be attached to what was going on, would grunt and make noises and be a disruption. And the teacher just had a really hard time with him. He was still in the second grade, even though he's 12 years old. He's 5 years older than his classmates. His teacher was very frustrated with him. As you might imagine, he required a lot of her time and attention that she wasn't always able to give him. And when she did, it took away from, you know, the kids in the class that were able to learn and read and learn how to write. So one day the teacher called her parents. I mean, didn't call her parents, called Jeremy's parents in for a conference where she basically explained that, look, Jeremy's just not able to learn. It's a waste of his time. It's a waste of the class time. It's taking away from the other children. He's a disruption. And maybe it's time to think about putting him in a special school. The mom was crying into a handful of Kleenex as her dad, man, I'm really butchering the story, but as her husband, Jeremy's dad, began to speak. And he explained to the teacher that, look, there is no special school anywhere close by that we could get him to if we wanted to. And besides, we don't want to. Jeremy loves it here. He loves this school. And to take him out of it would be such a disruption and so painful to him that we just can't bear to do such a thing. So the parents left and went home, and the teacher sat at her desk and looked out the window and just thought, what do I do? I have to do something. But what? So the next day rolls around, and in the class, the teacher gave an assignment to the children. It was springtime. And she had passed out those little plastic eggs and told each child to go home and fill the egg with something that represented springtime and new life. And so the children did just that. They all took their eggs happily home. And the teacher had intentions of calling Jeremy's parents to let them know what the assignment was, knowing that in her heart and in through her experience, that Jeremy just wouldn't get the assignment done, wouldn't get it right. And she wanted him to participate. She liked Jeremy. It just, she couldn't work with him. But life, as it often does, distracted her with all kinds of chores and things that happened that night. She was never able to call Jeremy's parents, and the next day came, and all the children, all 19 of them, including Jeremy, put their eggs on the teacher's desk, and the teacher began to go through them one at a time, opening them up, displaying proudly what each child had put inside, one a flower, and a little girl raised her hand, that's mine. One had a rock with some moss on it. A little boy spoke up in the back, that's mine. And indeed, moss was a living thing, and they talked about it. Another child had placed a little plastic butterfly, and they were able to talk about the life process of a caterpillar and the cocoon and the rebirth. Then she came to an empty egg, and she was embarrassed. She knew it had to have been germy. He didn't understand the assignment, she thought. And she quietly put it down and was ready to proceed when Jeremy had noticed it was his egg. Well, teacher, he raised his hand. Aren't you going to talk about my egg? She was embarrassed. She was flustered. She didn't want to embarrass him. She didn't want to cause a problem. She just spoke up and said all that could come to her. She's like, but Jeremy, it's empty. And Jeremy, in a moment of clarity, was able to express that, well, Jesus was killed for us and laid in the tomb. And the Father raised him up and the tomb was empty. So that empty egg represents the empty tomb, he explained in his way. And therefore was a sign of new life. The teacher was choked up. And as the story progresses, about 3 months later, Jeremy had passed away. And at his funeral, 19 empty eggs were placed on his casket. Jeff, what are you doing to us today? Why are you sharing this? How does this apply? How does this encourage me? How does it enlighten me and build me? As a person, and if you are a believer, as a believer. Rabbi Shaul, the Apostle Paul, said in Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 5, and I'm paraphrasing, but he says that we rejoice in our tribulations, in our troubles, because our trials produce perseverance, our perseverance, character, and character, hope, and hope never fails because of the love that God poured out into us through his Holy Spirit. What are you talking about, Jeff? Why? What does this got to do with anything? Well, you know, of course, we all pray that God heals us. Or somehow we get through our problems through, you know, miracles or through maybe science and medicine. But we don't always see that in our lifetimes. I assure you today, Jeremy is with the Lord. And he's received the ultimate healing. He has a new body. He's strong physically. He's happy and able to communicate fully. Filled with joy beyond anything any of us can imagine. And perhaps he had more character and hope than any of us. And through what we see possibly from this side as failure and loss is so much more, because we're talking about it on a podcast. How many other podcasts, how many other radio programs and TV programs, how many other blogs, how many other places, churches and pulpits is it being relayed, this message, this very story of Jeremy? How many countless lives are being inspired and encouraged because of the life he lived? Though it was short, and though it was filled with challenge, all the good that has come and will continue to come because of what Jeremy was able to do. Not because of his disabilities, not because of what he couldn't do, but because of what he could do. Through his challenge, he was able to understand the most basic but most important lesson any of us could ever learn. He knew enough to know the love and forgiveness and strength that comes from the Messiah. I encourage you today, if you're facing a challenge, to look to that lesson. Whether you're healed in this lifetime or not, you will be healed. You will be whole. And if not in this lifetime, the encouragement and inspiration that you give to others is a blessing to you. And to those of you in the audience that may be listening and, you know, you don't face physical challenges or cognitive challenges. Maybe you're whole in your body. Maybe you're fine. Maybe you're just listening to this just to see, maybe just out of curiosity. Then the lesson for you today is perhaps the lesson that the teacher learned. When we look through our own wisdom, through our own understanding, through our own eyes, and apply our own objectivity, it's so easy to miss the bigger picture. But when we look at life and we look at people the way the Father looks at them, oh man, how much better, how much fuller and richer our lives will be. Pray that God bless and keep you, make his face to shine upon you, and be gracious to you, and that he give you his peace. If you have any questions, comments, or stories you'd like to share or point out, whether they're yours personally or ones you've heard that you'd like me to address, or whether you have questions about this Messiah that I serve, oh, I'd love to share more. And in time, I will on the program. And through the blog, and my personal testimony is on the audio page at jeffgrillo.com or jeffgrillomedia.com. Either way, you can get there. It's the same site. You can also email me and tell me what you're going through. My email address is throttleup@jeffgrillomedia.com. That's throttleup@jeffgrillomedia.com. You can also follow me on Facebook and Twitter. It's facebook.com/jeffgrillomedia. Or at Twitter, @JeffGrillerMedia. And the J, the G, and the M are all capitalized. Subscribe to this podcast if you haven't already. Please leave a review. Post a rating. It would be very meaningful and helpful to me and help me to get the word out. May God bless and keep you. And until next time, this is Throttle Up.
Throttle Up is a presentation of Jeff Grillo Media. You can follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/Jeff Grillo Media or Twitter @Jeff Grillo Media. Email us throttleup@jeffgrillomedia.com.